gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T. And tonight I'm rolling by myself, in a way. JCD is not joining me here tonight, but he will be with you Wednesday night on a regular episode of Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. He will have independent wrestler Tara Calloway from Adrenaline Unleashed in Las Vegas. But I'm not alone tonight. Before I get to my guest, I just want to go run down the upcoming guests that we're going to have here on Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. Wednesday night, I mentioned Tara Calloway. The following Wednesday, February 20th, Jeff Gorman will join us. The following Wednesday, Jason Knight, the ECW original, will be with us. March 6th, Adam Cole, the reigning Ring of Honor TV champion. And there's a very good chance March 13th, we will have Fred Tugboat, Typhoon, Shockmaster, Ottman with us. But as I was saying, with me today is in a little pre-Raw episode, a special edition of Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. He is very well known among wrestling journalists and radio hosts. If you know who he is, you know what he does. His name is Arda Oko. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Seth. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm a huge fan, and I know you have quite the following. But when you and I spoke about, or when you mentioned that you would be willing to come on the show, you said you would discuss your story and how you got to be at the level of where you are in terms of wrestling journalism. So can you share a little bit of your story?
First of all, I don't necessarily consider myself to be a wrestling journalist. In order to be a wrestling journalist, you have to be sort of unbiased and completely, you know, in that world where you're reporting the news. I'm not necessarily somebody that is always reporting the news. I do break news from the interviews that I do, or in the role of an interviewer as opposed to a journalist. I consider myself more of a WWE analyst, and that's where my strongest points are. I provide news information on my Twitter account because my followers seem to care if there's news happening. And it's not necessarily me breaking it. It's just more, oh, I found that, you know, ESPN reported that Bruno Sammartino is going into the Hall of Fame. Okay, I'll post the link on my Twitter account because I know that my followers will be interested in it. My story starts actually through broadcasting. I never thought that I would even be able to have a job in the world of pro wrestling at all. And I went to school for something completely different. I took a business mathematics degree and I finished it. And while I was there, I basically hung out at the local radio station as much as I could to get some experience. Just like pro wrestlers in the independent scene. And I heard you were going to have an independent wrestler on Wednesday. Well, ask him how he broke into the business, you know, paying dues, setting up the ring, setting up chairs, helping promote the shows, sell tickets, then eventually get booked for shows, that kind of thing. Well, that's how it is in broadcasting, too. I paid my dues. I, you know, organized tapes, I cataloged, I helped produce shows, you know, until eventually there was on-air positions available. This doesn't come, you know, that easily. And, you know, people who go to school for broadcasting or for journalism don't necessarily get jobs. You shouldn't feel entitled to get a job right away just because you took it in school. So I worked hard, man. Like, I just volunteered my ass off, and I eventually got lucky in the sense that I found an internship at the store, which is where I am today, and I pitched the show. I said, listen, you guys are the home for WWE in Canada. In Canada, we air everything. We air Raw, SmackDown, NXT on television. We air Vintage Collection, Experience, everything. We're like a one-stop shop for everything WWE. And so I said, listen, one thing that I think would keep an audience is a post-game show. Why don't you guys do a show kind of like, you know, when you're watching the NFL after the game, there's a post-game show. Or you're watching a sport, there's a post-game show. Why don't you do something similar for WWE? And they said, you know what, that's a great idea. And I pitched that in, I think it was November of 2009. It started in December of 2009, and we've been on the air ever since.
That's great. How do you think that you were able to get such a large audience to tune into this after Raw or after game show?
Well, the big thing is that we air after Raw and SmackDown. That's the big key, is that there's already a lot of people watching Raw and SmackDown in Canada. And then as soon as the show is done, usually what fans do is they talk about the show and they talk about what happened, and they, you know, they either tweet about it or they go on Facebook or they call their friends or whatever just to talk about the show and get analysis, or they go and read articles about the show. Well, we're providing them something that they don't even have to change the channel. They watch the show, all of a sudden, here we come, and we talk about the show. And that's the big thing. I mean, we tend to retain a lot of the audience that watches Raw and SmackDown because we are providing the conversation or talking about the big issues that they would talk about normally anyway. So we're giving them an extra sort of frame of mind or an extra opinion, and people like to hear that. I mean, wrestling fans especially are big on debate and big on, you know, talking points and things like that. So it was just a natural fit. I mean, it was a no-brainer, to be honest. I'm surprised that it wasn't even pitched before me, but when I pitched it, they were like, yeah, this is a pretty unique idea. And I said, hey, like, I think it'll work, and it has.
Yeah, you make a really good point about, you know, relating it to other sports, and, you know, we see this definitely with basketball, football, other sports. There's obviously halftime shows, and there are also post-game shows. Unfortunately, wrestling doesn't seem like it'll ever have the opportunity to have a halftime show. But you've also interviewed a lot of big names in the wrestling business. Goldust recently. I think you've interviewed Bret Hart a number of times. How were you able to, you know, connect with these big names in the wrestling business?
So while I was pursuing my career in broadcasting, I started in the independents in pro wrestling. So I helped joined an organization in Toronto, and I did everything. I, you know, helped set up the rings, chairs, whatever, just to get some experience, just to pay my dues and gain some respect. And once I got to a certain level, after I kind of earned people's respect, they said, so what do you want to do? And I said, you know what? It'd be fun to promote some shows. It'd be fun to do some commentary and some ring announcements. So I got those opportunities. 2008 was a big promoting year for me. We did a cross-Canada tour in the summer, which was, I think it was about 13 shows in 16 days, covering about, I'd say, about 10,000 miles of road, which was awesome. And then we took professional wrestling for the first time ever up to the Canadian Arctic, which was kind of cool. Totally different landscape. And if you ever have a chance to talk to Colt Cabana, ask him about it, because we brought him up there in 2011. It was kind of a pretty wild experience, and the fans are cool and everything. So after the promoting, I didn't – what's that?
I'm a huge fan of Colt. I see him all the time at Pro Wrestling Syndicate in New Jersey. I know his podcast is amazing, The Art of Wrestling.
Yeah, he's, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the big thing is that the formula of Colt's success is that he has a personal relationship with so many of the people that he interviews on his podcast. I mean, he even says it himself, the podcast started just him wanting to talk to his friends about professional wrestling, and then people just feel the genuineness of that, I'm very happy for him. I mean, the fact that he's achieved that level of success is fantastic. And the fact that he said it on his podcast, even, you know, he says, you know, I'm not going to let WWE dictate whether I can be a professional wrestler for a living or not. And he's reached a point where he probably is more comfortable in terms of a living than a lot of lower level guys in WWE. And that's very, very cool. Like, that's fantastic that he's able to do that, because he's a hustler, you know, like, he hustles very hard, and he works very hard at his craft, and that's very good for him. But in terms of going back to your question, that's basically through the independents. We would book. We had a really good rapport with a lot of guys in TNA at the time, so we booked a lot of, you know, the Chris Sabins of the world, the Christopher Daniels. Christian was a good friend and trained with our head trainer at Squared Circle Training in Toronto, and so he came up and did some shots with us. you know, we basically built a lot of rapport, and through those, through that, I was able to meet a lot of people and sort of kickstart. Once I transitioned over to doing interviews, that's how I was able to sort of kickstart that arm of my life, so to speak, through those previous contacts.
That's very cool. You know, I'm wondering, you know, you do these post games shows or post WWE shows, and so how do you have like a regular schedule? It seems like, you know, you could be doing interviews or different shows at very maybe strange or odd times. So how do you balance, you know, a personal life with this kind of career?
I mean, honestly, I'll be the first to admit that my job, I'm kind of married to my job in the sense that I have that drive to want to work as hard as possible to make the best product and situation possible. You know, if Aftermath has a bad week in the ratings, I'm the one that loses sleep over it, and I'm the one thinking, okay, what do we do to make this better? And then, you know, when we pull it out again and get a good number, then it you know, feels good because you put your effort and heart into it. So, absolutely. I mean, you have to find that. I mean, as I've gotten older in life, I've learned that it's important to have a balance because you don't want to look back and say, wow, you know, what have I done with my life? I've only done one thing, but, you know, at the same time, I see the value in being passionate and sort of going after it, you know?
Absolutely. Do you think that someone can, you know, reach that level of success while also, you know, balancing the responsibilities of other things? Or do you think that, you know, it's the kind of career that is really for someone who's going to be, as you said, married to their job?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're a professional wrestler and you're working every single weekend, like I've seen a lot of, well, here's a perfect example. I started doing commentary for Dragon Gate USA. And one of the shows that we did, I think it was in November, it was in Long Island. We were just messing around in the ring before the show. I was paying attention to AR Fox, who's one of their more prominent workers. Great talent. Like I used to say, like he flies around the ring like nobody I've ever seen. Like a lot of those Dragon Gate guys do that. And I noticed on his hand he had this tattoo on his wedding ring finger. And I asked him, I said, "Oh, are you married?" He said, "No. Take a look at it closer." And I looked at it, and it was a tattoo of a ring, but in the ring it said wrestling. So he was basically saying, "Well, I'm married to this life. I'm married to this job."
Right.
Which I thought, man, like that is such a big statement to make, you know, like the guy, I assume he's in his mid-20s, early 20s, something like that. And for him to do something like that, he's like, wow, like, that's a big statement to make. So a lot of people have that mentality, man, like it's wrestling or nothing. Like you have to put your heart and soul into it and you have to, you know, take bookings wherever you can, drive 8 hours one way just to make a $50 payday and then come back. Like that's the sacrifices you have to make. And for me, to be honest, like I have so much love for professional wrestling and I care about the industry so much that I respect that and I appreciate that. And anybody that's willing to put their lives in that sort of situation just because they have a similar passion, I respect the hell out of that. And I think that anybody who does that for a length of period of time absolutely deserves any goodwill that's coming to them. And actually, just I know this is a tangent, but I recently had an opportunity to watch the that Nigel McGuinness documentary, right. and it broke my heart. Like it, just watching that, because he had that, right? Like he was traveling the world, and he was, of all the guys, I mean, even, you know, Bryan Danielson and all those guys included, like Nigel was in that category, right? Like he was a guy that some people would say was at the top of that class, and then, you know, just unfortunate, this life happened and just unfortunate things, one thing led to another. And it's just like, and now he has to put active professional wrestling behind him. And watching that documentary and seeing his retirement tour unfold and everything, it broke my heart because it's like, man, this guy deserves to be there. And they wanted him to be there. And just, like, just such a, very heartbreaking. So, yeah, anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there just because it was at the top of my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, you know, makes you think about the lifestyle and you know, that you need to really cherish, you know, the opportunities that are given to you. Speaking of which, what do you think that you would be doing if you weren't, you know, doing this, if you weren't a wrestling analyst? Did you ever think about any other possible things? I mean, you said you got a degree in business mathematics. What were you thinking, you know, throughout school if you know, wrestling didn't work out?
You know, it was always broadcasting. I never actually thought that I would be doing any sort of wrestling on a grand scale. You know, the idea of working in professional wrestling was such a foreign concept to me. I thought it was always going to be, my dream was always television, just to be a broadcaster on a sports, like in sports, doing play-by-play for a sports game or a team or something like that. So that was always my dream. Like and the reason was because I didn't even know that I could do wrestling. Like that was not even a thought. Like I thought it was always going to be my secret love and passion, you know, like, and it was always going to be something that I always admired from afar, and I had no idea that I could just get into it. So to be honest with you, I always tell the workers at the gym too, like always them and always anybody who wants to get into the wrestling business, I always say, have a plan B, because it may not pan out for you. And I'm not saying that it won't, but I'm not saying it's guaranteed to happen either. So you have to have a backup plan, whether you even go get a degree, even if it's a college diploma in something that you know that you're good at, and even if it's not something you absolutely love, just have it as a backup. And once you have that piece of paper in your hand, and once you have the backup plan set in place, then chase your dream. And if that means that you're going to have to chase it 100% and you're going to have to struggle along the way a little bit, hey, that's your decision and power to you. But at some point, you're going to have to make a decision and say, okay, I've struggled through this for several years now, and all of a sudden I'm no better off than I was 5 years ago, then that's when that plan B is going to be very beneficial to you. So it's absolutely necessary to have a plan B. And for me, it was, I'm a fan of people who are entrepreneurs, and I always thought, you know what, if professional wrestling or broadcasting didn't pan out, I would start my own business, or I would work at a company in some sort of business form. I was a project manager before I quit to try broadcasting, so I could always go back to that.
Right. Obviously, it seems like you prefer the, you know, analyzing of wrestling over other sports. You do cover some other sports, but is it just that you're more passionate about wrestling?
Wrestling's my number one love. I mean, I do not hide that whatsoever. I do also understand that if you think about it, my job at the Score didn't exist before I created it. So nobody really thought that you could make a living outside of, you know, a handful of broadcast jobs in professional wrestling doing what I'm doing. So it's very, very, very narrow, the opportunity to make a living doing anything involved in professional wrestling. So I understand that. And you know what? If one day this job becomes extinct, or if, you know, I never make it to the WWE or wherever, then I have to have a backup plan. And to me right now, that is to cover other sports, to, you know, do hockey commentary and to cover mixed martial arts, or to do play-by-play for boxing, or whatever the case may be, just so that you do not pigeonhole yourself. And that's a big piece of advice that I give to aspiring broadcasters, is you have to make sure that you're marketable as much as possible. Because what happens if all you've done is professional wrestling, and all of a sudden you don't get a job in professional wrestling, and now you need to find a job? Well, you may still have a passion to be in front of the camera. Okay, so how are you marketable to somebody? Well, I did this, I ring announced this and that. But to somebody who wants to hire you for a sports show, they may not care about wrestling. And that's just the harsh reality. So all of a sudden, you have to make yourself marketable and branch out. And I spend a considerable amount of my time doing that, because it would be safe to say that many people in Canada know me as the wrestling guy. However, there's a lot more on my demo reel and my resume than that. And I'm perfectly happy in showcasing that if the time ever needed that, if I ever needed to do that.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely important to have that backup plan and or just not to limit yourself into what you're looking for. Obviously, there are a lot of people without jobs right now, but there are probably a lot of people who are looking for something specific and maybe aren't willing to quote-unquote settle for something that's not ideal. But in any case, as we've been talking about, you've interviewed a lot of big names: Bret Hart, Sheamus, Honky Tonk Man, Iron Sheik. Have any of these interviews really stood out to you? Maybe Bret Hart because of the Canadian connection, or for any other reason, has any other interview stood out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I love interviewing Bret Hart. The three guys that I love interviewing, that I've interviewed the most, are Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, and Chris Jericho. And all of them bring something different to the table. And all of them are so interesting in their own way. Like, Bret Hart is very matter of fact. Here's your answer. And here's a story that goes along with it. And very, like, that's just the way that he is. The sense of humor is very dry. And that's how it is. It's just a very informative interview. And he always drops these almost like, I guess, these bombshells all the time. Like, you pipe bomb. Yeah, I guess use the term pipe bomb because he always brings you something. Like the last interview I do with him, he said, hey, I asked him about those comments he made about Triple H. And he goes, you know, to me, Triple H just isn't a guy that's in my top 1,000. I mean, that's a huge statement to make. Like, for some, it's funny because I asked some wrestlers that, and they were thinking about, they were like, top 1,000, like every single wrestler I've ever faced, whether I liked them or not, is probably in the top 1,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a big statement. So, you know, that's good in that way. Roddy Piper's always like, he's giving you his heart. Like, he's always so passionate when he talks, and he's always full of love and care. Like, he's just such a nice guy. And Chris Jericho is very entertaining. Like, he's very, like, even if you're not necessarily getting, and I'm not saying this about Jericho, but even if you're not getting the best information or, like, the best juicy tidbits or whatever, the interview is very entertaining. So, but with him, it's a combination of both because he's just very open and honest and just, you know, very candid. So those would be the top three that I've interviewed in terms of quality and quantity. But there's some other guys, like MVP is a lot of fun to talk to, Edge. There's a lot of great guys that I've interviewed that are a lot of fun and very cool for wrestling fans to hear.
Right, absolutely. I think we can learn a lot of different things from each wrestler that you interview. Is there anyone that you have not had the opportunity to interview that you're dying to speak with?
Oh, sure. Anyone in the WWE, I'd love to talk to Triple H today just to see what his vision is for the future of WWE. I'd love to talk to Vince McMahon. If I ever had an hour with him, I'd love to talk to him about all the past and just to pick his brain on how the industry's evolved. And I'd love to talk to Undertaker just to talk about his career. Like, it's funny because sometimes when you interview guys over and over again, like, say with a Bret Hart, like, you can't ask him, so what was your favorite match at WrestleMania every single time?
Right.
But you could with Undertaker because he really, I mean, he's rarely done any sort of interviews where people have asked him those kind of questions. So, you know, I'd love to ask him a lot of the sort of, I guess, the basics, the 101 questions, because not many people have heard answers to those. So, you know, if that time ever came, that would be a terrific interview.
Absolutely. You mentioned, you know, obviously, if you had an hour of Vince McMahon, if you could only ask him one question, what would that one question be?
The Vince McMahon?
Yes.
Let me see. Man, just one question. It'd be a tough one. I would ask him, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I'd probably take some time to prepare the question. I would say, that's a very good, that's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I have to think about what I'd ask him, because it would be, I'd probably ask him like a really long question.
Yeah.
That was like in several parts.
I was just going to say, I'm sure it would have several parts to it so that you could get as much information as possible. You've also had the opportunity to serve as master of ceremonies for different events. I believe one of them was the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction banquet. Is that correct?
Yeah, in Iowa. That was a great time.
What does it mean when you do you get a phone call, you know, asking you if you want to do it? How do you end up doing those kinds of events?
Well, a lot of times people will book me, like they'll just say, "Hey, we want you to come to this event and whatnot." For this one, I just made a pact to myself that I would go to as many professional wrestling themed events and conventions as possible in 2012. Just to kind of get my feet wet into them and also, you know, scope them out, get interviews, that kind of stuff. So I did a lot. I did a lot of traveling, and I enjoyed it a lot. The three major things I visited in 2012 was the Cauliflower Alley Convention in Vegas, which was a great time, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Amsterdam, New York, and the George Tregus Luthez Hall of Fame ceremony in Iowa, in Waterloo, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And with them, they just heard that I was coming just because I posted it on Twitter, and they said, "Hey, if you're interested, we're looking for somebody to host the event. Would you like to do that?" I said, "Absolutely. I'm going to be in town." You know, a lot of people ask me if I ever get nervous in my interviews, and honestly, I really don't, just because it's a job, and I'm over the fact that, you know, I looked up to these wrestlers growing up and stuff. Like, to me, it was more nerve-wracking interviewing a guy like Howard Finkel than it was interviewing, I don't know, Hulk Hogan, just because the guys behind the microphone were my heroes growing up. Those are the guys that I wanted to be. So, I did get a little nervous at the Iowa Hall of Fame because, you know, there's guys like Jim Ross and JBL and Gerald Briscoe in the audience, and I'm kind of like, oh man, JR is one of my heroes. Like, he's a guy I listened to, like I studied, right? Like, he's a guy that if you're going to be a pro wrestling announcer, you must study. Like, you must have an entire course at least on studying JR and how he conducted himself in terms of play-by-play. So to have him there was very special, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm going to do it again this year, which is going to be a lot of fun.
What was your conversation with JR like?
Well, I didn't talk to him much at the event, but afterwards I had a chance to see. I've met him a few times now, and honestly, I just pick his brain. I just say, you know, tell me some stories about your career and things like that. And he's a very one thing that I think we've seen glimpses of it in his commentary, but he has a very good sense of humor, and a lot of people don't necessarily see that because he's not necessarily put in the position to show it. So a lot of it was just, you know, just old stories. And, you know, when you're in that situation, you just stay quiet and listen, and you just soak it all in. Like, it's just a very cool experience.
Right. How do you prepare for your various interviews? What do you do to prepare?
I look them up. I mean, obviously I research, I see what, if there's anything new, if there's any sort of connections with things, like with Roddy Piper, I would ask him, "Hey, you know, CM Punk lately has been getting a lot of old school heat. You know, you were very well known for that. What do you think?" Like, that kind of thing. Just preparation. And it's funny because a lot of the times, like if I'm interviewing someone for the first time, especially if they were around when I was in my heyday of fandom, I remember a lot of this stuff. Like, I remember a lot of their career moments and things like that. So it's not an extraneous task for me to have to look up these things or remember a few things about their careers. So, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. You have to research. You have to, you know, like, just that's another big piece of advice, is just always be prepared going into something and do your research.
What would you say? You've been giving, you know, a lot of advice, which is great, throughout this interview. So, you know, what suggestions do you have for someone who maybe is not really involved with broadcasting and maybe they're already out of college. What could they do to get started in it?
Volunteer, absolutely. Become an intern, volunteer somewhere, physically go to somewhere. I mean, after university for me, I just physically went to every community station I could, and I just dropped off a resume, or I just said, listen, I don't have that much experience in the field, but I want to learn and I want to soak it all in. Is there any opportunities for me? My first job out of, not job, my first volunteer gig out of university was at Rogers TV, which is a local community station in a suburb of Toronto. And it was driving around a van. That's all it was. They had a van. It was called the community cruiser van. And basically this van would show up to events, 5K runs or whatever the case may be. And our job was to drive the van to the event, set up a tent, put up a big wheel, like a raw roulette wheel, and people would spin it and win prizes. And so it would land on a lanyard, so we'd give them a lanyard. It would land on a pen, so we'd give them a pen. And I did that for 6 months. And the reason I did is because I had hope and I was gaining trust with people that it would eventually lead me somewhere bigger and better. So that's what you got to do, man. You got to start. Don't expect anything. Don't feel entitled to anything. Be humble and just have humble beginnings. Just start small.
Right. Any kind of experience is good experience, basically.
Yes.
There are a lot of these shows like mine, these various podcasts on Blog Talk Radio, Bleacher Report, The Ring Rust Radio have one. What's your impression from someone who, you know, works for a professional company like The Score? What are your views on these various, you know, podcasts that we see all over the internet?
I mean, if people are having fun doing them, then do them. That's really what I think of it. I mean, you know, you're entitled to say anything you want to say. You're entitled to put out a podcast, and you're entitled to make it successful. So I respect anybody that takes a journey to create something and make it big. I mean, that, at the end of the day, that's definitely a dream that many people share. And all the power to people who want to work hard to achieve that goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. Great advice and a great way of looking at it. What do you have coming up in terms of your schedule? What do you have any interviews coming up or hosting any events that are coming up? It's WrestleMania season now. How involved are you going to be during that time?
Well, I definitely plan to be there. Hopefully that there'll be a few interviews that come up, whatever it may be. I know that WWE has a live event in Toronto on March 1st, so I will definitely be doing something there in some capacity. Looking forward to it. I enjoy the live events. I think that you really get to see a lot of great wrestling at the live events, and people have time to tell a story, and it's a lot of fun. I am a big fan of that, so I always enjoy going to live events and just soaking it all in. There's always a sleeper match. There's always something fun happening. So, that's basically it. If people want to follow me on Twitter, it's ARDA_OCAL, OCAL. And, that's pretty much what I got on my plate, my friend.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with me. I learned a lot, and I really appreciate your advice and hearing your stories, because you certainly have a lot yourself.
Well, thank you very much, man. Thanks for having me. I hope that it's been fun for your listeners as well. And, take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. Enjoy Raw.
Thanks, man. You too.
Thank you. That was Arda Okal from The Score. You can follow him at Arda_Okal, ARDA_OCAL. About 25 minutes until Raw. If anyone has any questions coming in terms of previewing Raw, feel free to call them in now, 760-888-5749. We're going to take a short break. If we don't have any questions, I will end the show a bit early so that we can all prepare for Raw. But in the meantime, listen to a good friend of ours here at Oh You Didn't Know Radio, The Big O.
Uh-oh, it's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned, we got a great episode ahead, and if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
All right, that was the Big O. Good friend of ours, saw him the other night at Pro Wrestling Syndicate. He teamed with Mr. Belding and the Fat Pack against Reality Check. Great things going on there in terms of Pro Wrestling Syndicate. And I have a couple of videos on the Facebook page, Gut Wrench Power Blog, facebook.com/gutwrenchpowerblog. Check that out. Check out Oh You Didn't Know Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/OhYouDidn'tKnowRadio. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. They're the ones who set up our show each and every week. Keep in mind there will be another Oh You Didn't Know episode this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. JCD will be hosting alongside the Prophet Rick Craig. I will be out this week, but I will return next week to speak with Jeff Gorman. Very excited to speak with another sportscaster and someone, another wrestling personality, as I like to call them. And that about does it here for Oh You Didn't Know Radio. You can follow me at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. Oh, we do have one caller. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Area code 609, you're on with Oh You Didn't Know Radio.
Hey, Seth, how's it going? It's Sports Kingdom.
What's your name?
Julian.
How you doing tonight?
Pretty good. I just wanted to ask you about Raw tonight.
Absolutely. What's your question exactly?
Well, there have been rumors about Undertaker returning tonight, so I wanted to get your thoughts on what do you think they have planned tonight for Undertaker.
That's a very good question. A lot of those pictures going around with the Undertaker, with those couple of girls, and a lot of rumors as to whether or not he will appear. You know, it's very 50-50, I think. You know, we see and we hear a lot of rumors in terms of people being backstage and then never appearing on the show. So it's very 50-50. We could learn or we could get the very beginning of a WrestleMania feud going on, but I really don't know who that would even involve because right now, you know, CM Punk is the favorite to face The Undertaker if he wrestles at WrestleMania. But personally, I'd prefer to see CM Punk in the triple threat match. So personally, I would predict that we don't see Undertaker on air. He may just be backstage to hang out with friends and to see all the wrestlers. So that would be my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Well, everyone's been talking about CM Punk and The Undertaker at WrestleMania, but I personally would actually like to see Daniel Bryan in The Undertaker.
That's interesting. I don't think it's likely. I think it would be very cool to see, like you mentioned, but with everything that's going on between Daniel Bryan and Kane, it just doesn't seem likely. And honestly, other than CM Punk, I don't see anyone else who would even make sense to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and with Punk not even champion, I don't even see the point in that match, quite honestly.
Yeah, I could quite understand, but, you know, Daniel Bryan, he's been, now he pretty much got on Kane's bad side, so, I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens tonight, but I just thought, personally, that would be a nice feud to see.
It would be very interesting to see. I totally agree with that. Thank you for calling, and enjoy Raw.
All right, you too.
Thanks a lot. All right, very nice caller. Talking about Raw, which starts in about 20 minutes. And we'll hear from one other person who gave us a little soundbite recently at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Miss Adiva.
Hey everyone, this is Dana Adiva, the first ever PWP babe. You are now listening to PWP Radio.
She also was at Pro Wrestling Syndicate as well as Karma, the former WWE diva, though she was diva for a very, very short time. But that about does it. As I said before, we had the caller. Enjoy Raw, everyone. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Follow me. Take care, everyone.